The Drug History Podcast, Series 1, Episode 2, Drugs and Magic. There is a well-known scene in the 1999 movie, The Matrix, in which the protagonist, Neo, is given a choice between a red pill and a blue pill. The red pill holds the promise of a higher revelation, in which he begins to see things as they truly are, whereas the blue pill keeps him in a state of stupor, in which he continues to believe whatever he wants to believe. Spoiler alert, he chooses the red pill. Last time we discussed the question, what is a drug? In this episode, as we continue laying the foundation for future episodes, we look at the question of mystery and magic in drug treatment. There are four important considerations that the scene depicted in the film The Matrix raises. They relate, firstly, to the balance of power in drug therapy and the implications that follow from that. The second consideration is in relation to the amount and quality of information given to what we may call the patient. The third factor relates to the determination of the dose. Finally, we consider the question of informed patient choice. Let's start with the first of these. As you watch the interaction between Neo, the protagonist, and Morpheus, the sage and benefactor at this stage, it is evident that there is a power imbalance in favor of Morpheus. Morpheus holds the cards, and it is almost as if Neo is an experiment or case study that he is playing with. This is important from a clinician-patient perspective. It is not unique to the film. Historically, medicine men and women, sorcerers, witches, and other healers across various human communities have tended to be among the most powerful members of society. They're perceived to have the power of life and death, and hence their word is held in high regard. To a limited extent, this arguably continues to this day. In the United Kingdom, one of the most powerful trade unions in existence is the British Medical Association, which represents medical doctors. Politicians are loath to antagonize the BMA, partly because, in any ensuing public relations battle, politicians are likely to come off worse than doctors in the school of public opinion. Failing this, if doctors decide to go on a general strike, most people rightly fear that they would experience negative health outcomes. The question that must be posed is whether this elevation of healers is always or necessarily a good thing. Should you always trust the word and opinion of your doctor, nurse, dentist, pharmacist, or other clinician? Should you unquestioningly follow their every dictate? The evidence at hand suggests that unquestioning obedience is not wise. The fact that, in the UK at least, we have clinical knowledge summaries and treatment guidelines set up by NICE, SINE, and several other bodies suggests that even medical professionals appreciate the need for standardization of treatment and not leaving the decision to the whims of individual practitioners. We also have the evidence of rogue practitioners who have brought disrepute to their professions, who have caused harm or even death to patients to look back on. We shall discuss these in a future episode. This takes us to the second point. There is no point in the interaction between Neo and Morpheus at which Neo is given any information about the mechanism of action of the pills or their side effects. We do not know how exactly the red and blue pills achieve the stated effects. Do they work on receptors in the brain or block neurotransmitters? Which regions of the brain do they work on? What are their side effects? What we see instead is Neo taking the pill on the word of Morpheus. Many people do this daily. They do not ask how the tablet is meant to achieve its intended effect. It is assumed that it is the right pill and that it works by some magic. It is true that there are some drugs whose mechanisms we do not fully understand, general anesthetics being a good example. But in the main, we can explain the mechanisms of action of most drugs. It should therefore be a standard part of the consultation or dispensing process for the clinician to explain how a prescribed drug is meant to achieve its desired effect. In recognition of this, some prescribers will add basic information to the instructions to indicate the intended use. For instance, the directions might say, take one daily to control high blood pressure, after a rudimentary discussion with the patient about the treatment. However, a desirable further step is a conversation with the dispensing pharmacist in which information is given along the lines of, this is a beta blocker, and it works by blocking certain receptors in your heart to slow your heart down. We move on to the third consideration, the determination of the dose in the film. For pills with such profound effects, how was the dose determined? What was the strength of the pill given to Neo, and what was the basis for giving this strength? Anybody on medication with profound effects or for a long-term condition will be able to tell you that they are on a particular strength of a certain medication because the doctor undertook certain measurements, blood tests, kidney tests, or some other parameter to determine the optimum dose. Failure to do so could lead to incorrect dosing, adverse effects, and possibly death. There are other pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic considerations that we can highlight, but what we've mentioned will do for now. This third consideration is also particularly relevant to drugs in natural products. Take plants, for example. Some have powerful drugs in their leaves, roots, and other parts. Using them straight from the source can pose serious challenges, including the risks of both underdosage and overdosage. If you are told to boil the leaves or roots, you ideally need to know the amount of water needed and how long you are to boil them for. Even if you follow this meticulously, natural sources such as plants have variations in concentrations of various components influenced by such things as the amount of rain, sunshine, nutrients in the soil, or competition with other plants. In the days before quality control of drug manufacture became a legal requirement, it is possible that some of the perceived effects of natural products could be explained based on these variations. An additional consideration in relation to the dose, not covered in the film, is the adjustment of dose based on age. Would a child have been given a pill or a liquid? How would the dose have been determined? All of these questions lead us to the final and possibly most important consideration. Can Neo be considered to have made an informed choice in taking the pill, given the limited information provided or lack of appropriate pre-prescribing checks? Historically, the question in administering treatment related to whether the patient had granted consent or not. If you could say or prove that the patient had said yes before a medical procedure, this was adequate to indemnify you against any future litigation. However, the pendulum is now rightly swinging towards informed patient choice or consent. An article in the British Medical Journal discusses this concept this way. It says, medical informed choice is essential for a physician meeting their fiduciary duty when proposing medical and surgical actions, and necessary for a patient to consent or call the outlined therapeutic approaches. Informed choice, as part of a shared decision-making model, allows widespread give and take of ideas between the patient and physician, This sharing of ideas results in a partnership for decision making and a responsibility for medical and surgical outcomes. Informed choice is indispensable to the patient, to the education process that meets the desired outcome of any covenant, an offer of and acceptance of the proposed treatment. The covenant anchors a true patient-physician partnership with parity and equality in decision-making and medical or surgical outcomes. What we see from this discussion in the British Medical Journal is that, in other words, the clinician and the patient are in partnership on equal terms, which eliminates the first problem we highlighted, the power imbalance in traditional healthcare settings. There is sharing of decision-making and widespread give and take of ideas, which takes care of the second and third problems we highlighted. The mystery or magic associated with drug treatment is eliminated. Both the clinician and the patient assume responsibility for the outcomes within a just culture that rightly apportions responsibility and accountability. Setting this up requires time and cannot be achieved in the 3 minutes that the scene in the film The Matrix apportions this interaction. This need for time is acknowledged in the British Medical Journal article in the following words. The growth of an equal patient-physician relationship requires time. There is no alternative to the time variable when developing a physician-patient relationship. Despite physicians being under pressures to perform more clinical and administrative duties in less time in the corporate model of medicine, time remains the most critical variable when considering informed choice and shared decision-making. Videos, pamphlets, and alternate healthcare providers cannot and should not substitute for physician time. Perhaps in recognition of the limitations in the interaction between Neo and Morpheus, the writers and producers add a postscript after Neo has taken the tablets. Morpheus pauses and informs Neo that he always acts in Neo's best interests. This is like the famous words from older doctors, "Trust me, I'm a doctor." As we have seen in this episode, we have moved on from the times when this was regarded as acceptable.